We need a citywide approach, and quite frankly, we need other levels of government.
Tonight, new attacks, more concerns, the ongoing troubles surrounding the TTC, and the advice from riders to advocates to solve the issues. Good evening. We begin tonight with tributes for a teen victim and the latest example in a long and exhausting list of similar events hampering our transit system.
Memorials are growing for the boy who was killed over the weekend, and so is the anxiety among riders who want to know if they will be safe. We're addressing several angles of this story for you tonight, beginning with Mike Walker, who's at Kiel Station where Saturday's attack happened. Mike.
Well, Nathan, police say Saturday's attack was unprovoked, once again leaving many riders we spoke with today on edge. And despite a number of measures rolled out in recent months to enhance safety on the TTC, advocates in the union say it's simply not enough.
Transit riders stopping at the growing memorial to Kiel Station where 16-year-old Gabriel Magel Hayes was fatally stabbed in what police have called an unprovoked attack.
It's just devastating because 16-year-olds, they're so young.
Toronto police say the teen was sitting on a bench Saturday night in the station's lower level when the suspect approached and stabbed him. He died in hospital. A 22-year-old man has been charged with first-degree murder.
The biggest concern I think people have, and I would, is it's random. That shouldn't happen at all.
Magel Hayes attended Etobicoke Collegiate Institute. In a letter, the school's principal remembering the teen as a kind student who enjoyed spending time with friends and family, adding he will be sorely missed.
He was a nice kid, and he did not seem like the type of kid who would be doing anything wrong or be aggravating people.
Last night, a man was seriously injured after being stabbed on a bus near Kiel and Eglinton. In the past year, there have been four homicides on or outside TTC properties.
It's getting out of hand. It really is. It's scary. I'm going on the subway now and I'm a little bit nervous.
Since January, the city and TTC have taken measures to enhance safety, including additional special constables, uniform workers, and outreach workers
that we funded through the 2023 budget, and I'm hopeful we'll see many of those come online soon and start to see some great changes in the system.
All of these things that we're doing, we've seen a general downward trend in the numbers of serious incidents.
The TTC adds there is more surveillance on the system now, but the violence speaks to larger societal action that is needed to address issues like mental health, addiction, and housing.
We're a transit agency. We need social service agencies to step up and really take the lead on this. We need a citywide approach, and quite frankly, we need other levels of government.
The union and transit advocates criticizing the response so far.
I do think we need to be careful to not just respond to violence when it's in the news cycle, because we won't bring lasting change.
I think a presence in the system is never a bad thing, but at the same time, what does that presence look like? We have transit workers that are more than capable of providing that gap and addressing these gaps in the system, but I think the TTC and the city would rather be concerned about savings as opposed to safety.
Calling for a long-term sustainable solution.
Now, earlier this month, Toronto Police ended its overtime patrols of the transit network. The deputy mayor was asked if police should be brought back. She said that will be a decision up to police and is open to any recommendations the force may have. In the meantime, conversations are ongoing between police, the city, and TTC on what else can be done to enhance safety. Reporting live, I'm Mike Walker. Back to you.
Thank you, Mike. And there are some worries tonight that recent cuts to TTC service will compound the issues surrounding this recent rise in transit violence. CTV's Raheem Ladani joins us with more on that angle. Raheem.
Well, Michelle, we're here at Spadina subway station, where instead of waiting 5 minutes to catch a subway this evening, you're having to wait 8 minutes. And some feel that service and safety go hand in hand.
It's an unwelcome start to the week for these high school students who are learning their school commute is getting longer.
I want to be even more late than how I'm late right now.
For others, extra time waiting for the bus is going to cost them money.
If we're delayed, our hours are delayed too. You know, it's time wasted. It's money that we cannot get.
Whether you ride the streetcar, subway, or bus, changes to 39 TTC routes are now in effect. While some will see service improved, 52% of schedule changes will result in longer wait times of up to 3 minutes. 8% of the changes will lead to wait times between 3 and 11 minutes.
I'm really disappointed by that. I think TTC is a really important service in the city, and I think it should be much better funded and cuts shouldn't be made.
And I hope they'll revisit that and maybe make cuts in a different place that don't have as much effect on as many people.
The TTC says it's cutting service by 9% of pre-pandemic levels to become more reliable for riders. However, advocates believe the move is unethical.
They're going to impact neighborhoods where people take more transit and neighborhoods with new immigrants, low-income people, people who rely on transit heavily. And the cuts, they hurt women, they hurt shift workers as well.
Research done by Toronto Metropolitan University found more than 80% of the routes that will experience increased wait times go through or connect to neighborhoods with higher poverty rates. Instead, they want the federal government to step in, which Ottawa did do last year.
Transit service gets worse, so people stay away, so service gets even worse. We've got to stop that in its tracks. So we're asking the federal government in its budget tomorrow to put hundreds of millions of dollars into public transit.
Along with service, safety is also on the minds of many riders who feel these cuts could have a ripple effect.
I think this is just something that's going to amplify the tension and anxiety on the subway and possibly create even more violence that we're supposedly so concerned about because, you know, when people are anxious, they're more likely to act erratically.
And the TTC isn't stopping here. More service changes are expected to come in May.
Another thing to make note of is that most fares at the TTC are also going up for riders. If you pay by cash or pay-as-you-go Presto card, be prepared to pay an extra 10 cents starting next Monday. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. I'll send it back to you in studio.
All right. Thank you, Raheem. Just a week to go before nominations open for people wanting to become Toronto's next mayor. And there's little doubt the winner will need to have a focused plan to address the troubles facing our transit system. CTV's Natalie Johnson's been speaking with some hopefuls on the issue. And she joins us from City Hall. Natalie.
Well, Nathan, most of the candidates will tell you that this problem is incredibly complex and does not carry a quick fix. However, they do each have some ideas on how they would tackle this increasingly pressing problem if elected mayor.
For months, the violence on Toronto Transit was mounting. Swarming, stabbings, and other senseless attacks. A growing crisis unfolding in front of the people who are hoping to lead this city.
On the TTC, it feels like it's moving and that it's spreading and it's randomized. And so, you know, we have to be proactive.
Mayoral candidate Mitzi Hunter says it's time for a safety blitz that includes marketing and messaging for commuters on where and how to get help.
We have to ensure that people feel safe when they're riding the TTC and that they are actually safe.
For 6 weeks, police patrolled the system on overtime shifts. Giorgio Mammoliti says if elected mayor, he'll find the money to reinstate and ramp up that presence.
I would like to see a full, blown-out TTC division, strictly, police officers, strictly, in it, working out of a division for the TTC.
Mayoral candidate Anna Bailao supports reinstating additional officers in the transit system, telling CTV News in a statement, "We need to work with the province to see how we can get the 200 new officers funded in the 2023 city budget onto our street as soon as possible. And in the long term, we need to tackle root causes with community and mental health supports."
What we need to do is something that should have been done years ago, is finally invest in the root causes of the violence that we're experiencing in our city.
Josh Matlow insisting more police is not the answer here.
In the immediate future, I'd like to see even more experts who are able to respond and identify individuals who have the potential of violence and help them de-escalate to prevent violence from occurring in the first place, working closely with transit control.
Public safety shifting to the fore of mayoral campaigns as pressure mounts on City Hall to do something to stem the violence.
And former top cop Mark Saunders, who is running for mayor, said in a statement today that although he believes that police play a critical role here, if elected, he would like to get to the root of the problem, saying this latest murder speaks to a lack of mental health supports in the city. Reporting live, I'm Natalie Johnson. Back to you, Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Natalie.
No word from Olivia Chow as to her plans to address violence along the TTC, but she will need to deliver a plan if she does choose to run for Toronto's top seat. The former NDP MP tells CTV News she is considering a bid. Chow was a city councillor from 1991 to 2005, and she finished behind John Tory and Doug Ford in the 2014 mayoral race. Back then, Chow had said she wanted to increase transit funding and bus service along our busiest routes. The mayoral by-election is scheduled for Monday, June 26th.
Tackling the high cost of living, we take a sneak peek at tomorrow's federal budget and the plan to provide some relief from food inflation. That's coming up.
But first, let's take a look outside on this Monday evening. Mostly gray skies today, but a far cry from the blustery conditions we faced over the weekend. We have some good news. There are some sunny days in store for us this week. Lindsay Morrison is here with a look at the current conditions. You seeing the sun anytime soon?
We should see it tomorrow, Michelle. We can look forward to that. It's an interesting week. We're sort of alternating days between active weather and pleasant conditions. Today was one of those days that wasn't so comfortable. We had a cold rain or we had some wet snowflakes, depending on where you were. Still seeing that around the Niagara Peninsula and parts of the West GTA, but we're also clearing from north to south. Winds today paled in comparison to what we experienced over the weekend, but again, that northerly direction, keeping it feeling a little cool out there. Current temperature is 4 degrees in Toronto, feeling more like 2. This is your evening forecast. Maybe bring the umbrella with you just in case. Tomorrow, yeah, we should be able to enjoy some sun, but we are looking pretty active, especially midweek and by the end of this week. All of those details coming up in your forecast. Nathan, I'll send it over to you.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. New developments tonight in a story we brought you last week. Police say they've made an arrest in the case of a Richmond Hill house fire. The accused was the subject of a missing person search. Officials say Daniel Popoff had walked out of the home after it exploded Monday. He then disappeared for 4 days. The 21-year-old was picked up Friday in Georgina and taken to hospital. No one was injured in the fire. Popoff faces a handful of charges, including arson.
In Nashville tonight, authorities are dealing with the aftermath of a scene so horrible it is hard to comprehend.
Yet another school shooting, this one involving young children. Their accused killer, believed to be a former student. Our Allison Hurst joins us in studio with the details. Allison, what can you tell us about this terrible tragedy?
We've just had an update from police and are now learning more about the victims in this tragic shooting. Police have just provided the identities. Two children were 9 years old and one was almost 9. Police identify them as Evelyn Dykehouse, Hallie Scruggs, and William Kinney. The three adults were in their 60s, Cynthia Peak, Catherine Contz, and Mike Hill.
Kids are walking, holding hands.
Children file out of their school, frightened, holding hands, or in the arms of adults, and are greeted by a massive emergency response after a shooter opened fire inside Covenant School, a private Christian elementary school in Nashville.
There were so many police cars, and then the ambulances started coming away from the school. And that's when I had heard it was a school shooting.
Police say three adults and three children were killed.
Three people lost their children today. It's hard to imagine.
The suspect, who is believed to be a 28-year-old woman, was shot by police.
From my initial findings is that at one point she was a student at that school, but unsure what year, all of that.
The call came in at 10:13 local time. The shooter was killed by police about 14 minutes later.
We know that she was armed with at least 2 assault-type rifles and a handgun.
As the gunfire erupted, families tried to reach loved ones inside.
I texted her and I said just like what was going on. She said she was hiding in the closet and that there was shooting all over. And
Avery Myrick's mom is a teacher there.
They had potentially tried to get into her room and just that she like loved us and that they could just hear shooting like all over the school.
According to the nonprofit group Gun Violence Archive, this is the 129th mass shooting in the U.S. this year.
Aren't you guys tired of this? Are you guys sick of it? We have to do something. We all have to call our lawmakers, and we all have to make our lawmakers make change now, or this is going to keep happening, and it's going to be your kid and your kid and your kid and your kid next.
Those calls for action echoed in the White House.
We have to do more to stop gun violence. It's ripping our communities apart. I call on Congress again to pass my assault weapons ban.
Police say roughly 200 students attend the Covenant School from preschool through grade 6 with 40 to 50 staff members.
I was literally moved to tears to see this and the kids as they were being ushered out of the building.
Police have identified the suspect as 28-year-old Audrey Hale, who lives in Nashville. They say officers found a manifesto and some writings and maps drawn about how this was going to take place. They also say the school was targeted and Hale gained access by shooting through one of the doors and had multiple rounds of ammunition. Reporting live, I'm Allison Hurst. Back to you.
Thank you, Allison. In Edmonton, a regimental funeral was held today for two police officers who died in the line of duty. Thousands of officers from across Canada and the United States came to pay their respects to Constables Travis Jordan and Brett Ryan. They were fatally shot March 16th while responding to a domestic dispute. The officers' caskets were draped with Canadian flags as they were carried into Rogers Place, the arena where the Edmonton Oilers play. As a large crowd of mourners looked on, the two officers were remembered for their dedication to their jobs and their families.
Brett was an extraordinary police officer, friend, brother, uncle, son, doting husband, and proud soon-to-be father. He loved fishing, hunting, watching the Toronto Blue Jays sometimes win, and when they didn't, he changed the channel to the Astros game.
Travis's love was a gift to us. His generosity of spirit made his corners of the world a better place. And we, too, can improve our own small corners of the world by following his tireless examples of goodness.
The Edmonton police chief says the two officers will be remembered for not what they did for a living, but for who they were. Jordan, who was 35, hailed from Nova Scotia and joined the Edmonton Police Service more than 8 years ago. Ryan, who was 30, lived in Spruce Grove, just west of Edmonton.
In Montreal, two more bodies have been recovered from the ruins of a building destroyed by fire nearly 2 weeks ago. Authorities don't believe there are more victims, but will continue to look. Seven people were killed in the March 16th blaze. Five have been identified so far. The investigation continues into the cause of the fire. The building had Airbnb rentals in an area where they are illegal.
Six people were critically injured in an explosion at a house in Calgary today. Four others suffered serious injuries in the blast that destroyed the single-family home. All the people sent to hospital are adults. Crews have been unable to look for other victims due to structural problems with the home. The explosion ignited several fires and caused damage to surrounding homes.
Despite an outcry from physicians, the Ontario government is ending a pandemic program that covered the medical care of uninsured patients.
The province defending the move today, saying there are other avenues for those who aren't covered. CTV's Siobhan Morris reports.
Cluster in North America.
The government is fending off attacks on a decision that opposition parties and some doctors have called heartless and cruel. A move to end health care funding for people not covered by health insurance.
This is going to make it harder for refugees, for unhoused people, and for those with mental health challenges to access urgent health care.
The health minister accused the NDP of disinformation.
There's no change in the way that uninsured persons will receive care in the province of Ontario. The only change is how hospitals, community health, and midwifery centres will be reimbursed.
Sylvia Jones insists people will get help whether they're covered by OHIP or not.
That could be through an emergency department. That can be at over 75 community health care centres.
But a family physician connecting newcomers and refugees to care says it's a little more complicated.
They have rules and limits and budget limits and boundary areas and other administrative barriers.
He's sure this shift will have dire consequences.
Deaths, amputations, blindness.
Outcomes that could be prevented if patients are confident they won't find themselves saddled with huge bills.
Patients will wait until they're really, really sick or until they're at death's door. And then they will finally go to the hospital. They will definitely get the care that they need, but at greater expense and greater cost to all of us.
And with less dignity in a moment of crisis.
Am I missing something here about who we are as a nation? That's the question at stake here.
The government is also defending changes to how often people, including seniors with relatively good eye health, can get eye exams. The health minister says the new setup prioritizes people with active vision problems. At Queen's Park, Siobhan Morris, CTV News.
It's the leading cause of death among firefighters in this country, and it may surprise you, that story and the effort to protect those who protect us coming up.
Police in Peel Region continue to investigate the circumstances behind the death of a pedestrian late Sunday. A person was struck by two vehicles shortly after 11 p.m. near Credit View and Bristol Roads. No confirmation on who the victim was, but both drivers stopped immediately and cooperated with police. One of them, in their 40s, has been charged with impaired operation causing death. There will be increased attention on Ottawa tomorrow.
The Trudeau government will be unveiling its budget for this year. And as CTV's Scott Lightfoot explains, it's expected to include help to deal with the high cost of food.
It is a common complaint shared by many grocery shoppers.
They're very expensive prices now.
Everything is so highly inflated prices. It's very difficult buying groceries.
In tomorrow's federal budget, the government is expected to announce a one-time grocery rebate targeted towards 11 million lower-income Canadians. Sources tell CTV News the measure would see couples with two children receive a payment of up to $467, while a senior would receive $225 and a single person would receive $234. Shoppers at this Value Mart near Danforth and Woodbine had mixed reactions to the plan.
Well, it'll help for 1 month, right?
I guess it'll help out for that initial venture, but after that, it's not gonna do much. No.
I think it will help, a bit of a drop in the bucket, but everything helps. But I think it's a matter of just. Of establishing the priorities in your life. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can cut back on. There's a lot of waste.
I spent $230 just now. These are my little bags right there. It's not going to really make a dent on anything. It really isn't.
Some worry the move to help lower-income Canadians could actually make things worse for all Canadians.
You have to question, why would we actually add an extra $2 billion to the market, which could actually add fuel to the inflation fire.
The government's plan will be allocated through the GST rebate system, essentially replicating the recent GST rebate increase. It's also expected there will be no requirement that the money will actually have to be spent on groceries.
Perhaps it is high time for Canada to look into a food stamp system like they have in the U.S., for example. You basically get people to buy desirable food products, fruits, vegetables, meat products, healthy products. You are giving money, but that money will be used to buy good food.
Some, like Kathy Thompson, who's on a fixed income, say they're not sure a single payout will be enough to make a difference.
They'd probably have to do it a lot. If the prices are going to keep going up, they'd probably have to do it quite a bit.
Others believe that until food prices stop rising, there isn't much the government can do.
The world needs to get back to where it was in 2020. Until that time, I don't think there can be much done.
Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
Meantime, the finance minister went on a traditional pre-budget shopping trip today. Chrystia Freeland bought a new pair of black heels, which she pointed out were on sale. Finance ministers across the country tend to sport new shoes on budget day as a way to send a message about what kind of year to expect. And a programming note for you, CTV will have full coverage of tomorrow's federal budget. That begins at 4 p.m. on CTV, CTV News Channel, and ctvnews.ca.
The list of Canadian sanctions against Iran is growing. The new penalties apply to 8 people, as well as a cybersecurity training institute and a company that makes armored vehicles. The Tehran commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard is also named. On the weekend, there were multiple calls at a Toronto rally to list the entire organization as a terrorist group.
In Germany, a so-called mega strike disrupted travel for millions of people today. The 24-hour walkout was called by labor unions to try and get more money for their members hit by inflation. Trains, planes, and public transit came to a standstill across much of the country. Cargo transport by rail and ship was also affected as port and waterway workers joined the strike.
In Paris, striking Louvre workers blocked the entrance to the country's most visited museum. Dozens of visitors from around the world were left waiting outside after union reps voted to close the tourist attraction. It was part of ongoing protests against the government's pension reforms that include raising the retirement age from 62 to 64. The Israeli consulate in Toronto shut down today. So did the embassy in Ottawa, as diplomats joined a strike against plans to overhaul the judiciary back home.
It was a wild and chaotic day in Israel where protests prompted the prime minister to pause the controversial plan. CTV's chief international correspondent Paul Workman reports.
A day of sweeping civil unrest that brought much of Israel to a standstill. Growing into a noisy and profound national confrontation on the steps of the country's parliament. Tens of thousands of protesters who equate a plan to reform the country's justice system with an assault on their democracy, joining weeks of dissent in what's now commonly known as the struggle.
We will continue to fight until this madness is stopped and order is returned to our country.
By the end of the day, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu backed down somewhat, refusing to abandon the reforms, but announcing what he called time out for dialogue. That came many hours after protesters blocked the main highway through Tel Aviv, quickly followed by a spontaneous wave of strikes, crippling flights out of Ben-Gurion Airport, shutting universities, and blocking marine traffic. Who dared to oppose Netanyahu's plan and warn of a security crisis?
What happened last night was the people, us, telling Netanyahu that this can't go on, this has to stop.
Netanyahu's announcement may go some way to calming the streets. But protest leaders accused the prime minister of simply playing for time, trying to weaken their resolve. The Israeli prime minister now has a month to find a way out of this predicament under threat of continued unrest. There was some relief tonight. The country's biggest labor union called off its nationwide strike. Paul Workman, CTV News, London.
A truck driver pleads guilty to careless driving in the death of an animal rights activist killed while demonstrating outside a slaughterhouse. The emotional day in court coming up.
So we will see a little more in the way of sun tomorrow. Cloud cover will gradually clear as the day goes on, and we're forecasting a seasonal high of 7. Here's the thing, though. At times this week, our temperature is going to be below normal, and then at times, we're going to be milder than average, and that's good news for Friday if you prefer rain to snow. Yes, we do have another low-pressure system on the way. We'll talk about that coming up in your forecast. And stay with us. We've got another full night of great shows for you right here on CTV.
The driver of a transport truck has pleaded guilty to careless driving in the death of an animal rights activist.
Regan Russell died while protesting outside a Burlington slaughterhouse in 2020. CTV's Beth McDonnell has a reaction from Russell's family after a very emotional day at the courthouse.
It was an emotional day at the courthouse with Regan Russell's life and death in the spotlight. The driver of the transport truck which struck the 65-year-old pleading guilty to careless driving causing death.
Regan's loss has shattered the family. She loved everyone she met and she embraced everyone. And she was just a loving, caring person.
Russell's partner says animal rights was the priority in Russell's life beyond her family. A priority that on June 19, 2020, took her to a protest outside a Burlington slaughterhouse, joining friends with activist group Toronto Pig Save to give the animals water.
I saw her lifeless body there. I was calling 911, shaking. And I just don't understand what just happened now, because they said he was going a normal speed. If he was going a normal speed, we wouldn't be here today.
Court heard an agreed statement of facts by the Crown and defense. The driver's sentence: a $2,000 fine, 12 months probation, and driving restrictions preventing him from making non-essential trips. Lawyers told court the driver, Andrew Blake, had a spotless record on the road prior to Russell's death. Around the time of the incident, police said there was no evidence of criminal intent. Russell's parents are in their 90s. She was their caregiver, and while she is greatly missed, the decision brings them some relief.
As painful as the whole thing is for us to lose a daughter, he has pain for the rest of his life too.
That's about as much justice as we can get. The admission that he made is the truth, and that's a fact.
Russell's partner believes the driver should have been charged with dangerous driving. To her parents, it's a terrible accident which attracted international attention, including Hollywood actor Joaquin Phoenix attending her vigil.
I think we can truthfully say we're flattered, but we're honored to be able to inspire the people that have just learned about our daughter. I can't help but feel this.
Touching lives throughout her life and her death. Beth McDonnell, CTV News.
Toronto MP Han Dong's announced he's taking legal action over allegations he was involved in Chinese interference. Dong says he's taking legal action against Global News and Corus Entertainment. He says he's retained a lawyer to begin legal action to its fullest extent. Citing unnamed national security sources, Global News reported that Dong had advised a senior Chinese diplomat to delay releasing Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor, the two Canadians who'd been imprisoned in China from 2018 to 2021, in order to avoid benefiting the Conservative Party. Dong admitted in the report that he had spoken with the Chinese official to discuss the two Michaels, but denies allegations he pushed for their release to be delayed. Dong resigned from the Liberal caucus and now sits as an independent.
Pre-pandemic hours at Canada's border crossings are being restored March 31st. 39 crossings in several airports are affected. The Canada Border Services Agency restricted hours in April of 2020, closing many points of entry early and stopping 24-hour service at 7 crossings. Cross-border issues were among the topics discussed during U.S. President Joe Biden's visit to Ottawa just last week.
All right, let's talk about that forecast. A little bit cloudy, a little bit cool, but things are going to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday was so nice for a lot of people. I think people just flocked outdoors because the sun was shining so brightly. It got milder throughout the day, and then we're reminded what time of the year it is.
I know, and you know what? This is a time of year that's infamous for a false start to spring, and yesterday kind of felt like that. We were shedding the winter jackets, but today you might have needed it. There was some rain out there, but it was also a bit of a cold rain, definite chill in the air, some wet snow in many parts of southern Ontario today. Nothing really sticking to the ground, but it was there. And as we make our way through the next couple of days, we have potential for some more snow and also some heavy amounts of rain before we get to the weekend. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. The active weather that we've seen today is now pulling away from the GTA, still impacting some border communities near New York State, in Niagara area, for example, and just down near the shoreline of Lake Erie. And we've got still a little bit of activity making its way through Muskoka areas too, to the east of Georgian Bay. Otherwise, though, we're looking at a mostly cloudy night tonight. Gradually, the cloud cover is going to clear out tomorrow. And by the afternoon, hopefully, we will be enjoying sunny skies. Now, our forecast radar does show a couple of signs of maybe a pop-up shower or two, but I do think that tomorrow itself is going to be a dry one. Look what happens Wednesday, though. And I want to draw your attention to this for a couple of reasons. This is what appears to be a little bit of a squall line developing. And when this happens, as you can see here on the forecast radar, we're expecting some snow, likely some wet snow. As it swings on through Toronto, we'll likely start off with some rain. It could quickly change to some wet snow. It moves on out just as fast as it arrives. But with this, we can also experience some very strong winds. So again, that's for your Wednesday afternoon. Into the early part of the evening, we clear out once again. Thursday's looking like a pretty nice one. And then Friday is a day where we will need the umbrella. Current temperatures, look at the difference once again between southern Ontario and the north. That battle of winter versus spring continues. Our seasonal average is 7 degrees here in the city of Toronto. We're expecting to climb there tomorrow. Overnight tonight, our forecast low is -2 degrees, wind chill -4. A snapshot of tomorrow does show some eventually clearing skies. A little bit cooler in some lakeside communities like Burlington, for example. 8 degrees the high tomorrow in Port Perry and 7 for you in Belleville. Here is the 7-day forecast. So there's Wednesday. Possible mixed precipitation. Lots of sunshine on Thursday until we get to the nighttime hours. Just a heads up on that. Rain. Yes, it looks to be mild enough for rain. That's the upside to this Friday's round of active weather. But some mixed precipitation looking to follow us into Saturday, which is also the first day of April. That's your look at the forecast. Michelle, over to you.
Thanks, Lindsay. Five planets are set to do a line dance in the sky this week. Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, Uranus, and Mars will appear to line up near the moon. The best time to see them is tomorrow night, as long as the sky is clear, and it looks like it will be based on what Lindsay just said. And you'll want to look at the western horizon right after sunset. The planets will stretch from the horizon line to around halfway up the sky, but only for about half an hour.
Also tonight, he's been a staple on CTV News for more than three decades. You've invited him into your homes each night, a storyteller like no other. Our Austin Delaney has a big announcement. Canada's Auditor General says about two-thirds of people with disabilities in this country encounter barriers on federally regulated planes and trains. That was in 2019 and 2020. But Karen Hogan's report indicates serious gaps remain in service by Via Rail and the Canadian Air Transport Security Authority. One example, booking sites are still not fully accessible, even though issues with the sites are the most frequent barriers reported. The everyday dangers facing firefighters are obvious, but what's not so apparent is the silent killer among that community.
Cancer continues to be their leading cause of death in Canada. And tonight, many within the profession want to address what they say is a major contributor. Health reporter Pauline Chan explains.
The gear we depend on to keep us safe is killing us.
Edward Kelly of the International Association of Firefighters spoke in Ottawa about the dangers they face, not just from flames and toxins released by the heat, but by their own protective clothing.
Here in Canada, more than 95% of the IAFF members honored on that wall between 2012 and 2021 were due to occupational cancer.
The suspected culprit is a group of chemicals known as PFAS, per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. The petroleum byproducts are known as forever chemicals.
Every member of the family has a characteristic of having an extremely strong carbon fluorine bond. It doesn't break down.
This helps make fabrics more waterproof and heat resistant, but PFAS has also been linked to health hazards, including cancer, particularly kidney and testicular, as well as disrupting the immune system and more. The IAFF wants to eliminate the so-called turnout clothing containing PFAS, which can leach into the skin as well as other clothing worn by firefighters. But they can't stop wearing it because current national safety standards require that they wear gear containing PFAS. So last week, the IAFF filed a lawsuit against the National Fire Protection Association.
And the lawsuit will seek to prove a civil conspiracy between the NFPA and the manufacturers that have kept that standard in place.
All clothing sheds fibers.
Professor Miriam Diamond says even the stations where firefighters live have been shown to have higher levels of PFAS in the dust and environment. So even when they're not wearing turnout gear, firefighters are exposed. And there's more ominous information. Her latest study shows increasing use of PFAS in fast food containers. I'll have details on that study tomorrow. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
Prince Harry is back in the UK, making a surprise appearance at a London courtroom today. The Duke of Sussex was there for a hearing related to his lawsuit against the publisher of the Daily Mail newspaper. It alleges years of phone tapping and privacy breaches. Music royalty was also there today. Elton John is part of the suit as well, along with his husband, David Furnish, and actor Elizabeth Hurley.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
Also tonight, we check in with the newly minted champions, the Toronto Six, as they revel in their historic overtime win against Minnesota last night.
We're a transit agency. We need social service agencies to step up and really take the lead on this.
Updating our top stories, city officials are speaking out following the fatal stabbing of a 16-year-old boy at Peel subway station on Saturday. A 22-year-old is charged with first-degree murder in the incident, which has reignited debate over how to keep the TTC safe.
In this dark hour, let us support each other. Let us go and hug our children a little bit closer tonight.
Three 9-year-old children were killed, along with three adults in their 60s, when a shooter opened fire in a private school in Nashville, Tennessee. The shooter, a 28-year-old woman, was shot and killed by police.
We're going back where community health care centers, where emergency rooms, where individuals who need services, OHIP-funded services, and for any number of reasons, do not have an OHIP card, have access.
Ontario's health minister says uninsured people can still receive health care through other means after the province cut the physician and hospital services for uninsured persons program on Friday.
On the markets, the loonie traded up 40 basis points to 73.21 U.S. Oil jumped 3.55 a barrel to 72.81. And the TSX gained 123 points to end the day at 19,624.
Our city has brand new champions.
The Isabel Cup belongs to the Toronto Six. They managed an incredible overtime win yesterday, making history in the process. CTV's Zoraida Allman reports.
An historic moment for Canadian women's hockey.
Anisima wins it! Toronto, their first ever Isabel Cup!
The Toronto Six is bringing the Isabel Cup home. Teresa Vanasova scoring the winning goal 4 minutes and 23 seconds into overtime for the championship win. A first for a Canadian team in the only pro women's hockey league in North America.
Still trying to soak it in with the group. Didn't get much sleep. We'll be laying out by the pool with the Isabel Cup and hanging out. So super excited still. Yeah. Can't believe we did it.
It was a hard-fought win. Minnesota was up 3-2 in the third period. The Six tying it up late in the game, forcing overtime.
We stuck together as a team, and I think team chemistry was huge in that goal that we had to come together, and we wanted to make sure we brought the cup home.
It's the kind of perseverance Howard says they've had all season, one that's paid off, putting Canada among the ranks of champions in the Premier Hockey Federation.
This whole championship was just a big step in the right direction to sort of get our name even on a global, wider scale. So that people know who we are and see what we're doing. I think it's great for the women's game.
A goal that goes beyond winning a trophy, but one that hopefully brings big exposure and growth to the game of women's hockey in Canada and beyond.
I'm excited to see where we continue to go because we've gone so far in such a short period of time.
Zoraida Allman, CTV News.
Also tonight, it's the end of an era here at CTV News. The one and only Austin Delaney, who for decades has had a front row seat to Toronto's history, is himself making news. He joins us right after the break.
Hi, Nathan and Michelle. On the next CP24 Breakfast, it's Federal Budget Day. We'll speak to a former finance minister about what the Trudeau government may have in store for Canadians in these uncertain economic times. And it's also Take Me Home Tuesday. We'll try to connect some furry friends with their forever homes. That's on the next CP24 Breakfast, up first at 5 a.m.
I'm Zoraida Allman. Coming up, renewed concerns over TTC violence after the murder of a 16-year-old boy on Saturday. And sources tell CTV News Ottawa will provide a grocery rebate in its upcoming budget. Join us tonight at 11:30.
For more than 30 years, he's been sharing Toronto's stories. And tonight, he has some news of his own to report. Our very own Austin Delaney is retiring.
Austin Delaney, CFTO News.
Bernardo's lawyer has filed an application in the courts that, if successful, would force the Crown to give up all the evidence it has against Bernardo.
This case has taken some very strange twists.
I'd like you to talk to the people in Toronto and answer some serious allegations.
We're out on the streets, and I'm going to show you a report that we put together, and you're not going to believe what happened to your city today.
Austin has been at this station since 1989, front and center, covering the biggest events and most recognizable people. As you can see, a lot has changed over the 34 years, but one thing has not: Austin's natural gift for storytelling.
And the man himself, Austin Delaney, is here in studio with us tonight on what is his very last week here at CTV News Toronto. Can't believe it. Can it be? Yeah. Are you really retiring?
I am. Yeah, it's 34 years. That's more than half my life, but I've had the privilege of being here at CTV. It's a great place to work. It's a great place to meet friends and family. We've had a good ride here. It's been nice. I'm going to miss it a lot. I'm going to miss the people I work with, the viewers, you miss them too. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to be hard.
you know, the viewers, ourselves, we're all going to miss you. Was it a tough decision?
Well, yes and no. The privilege that CTV gives you is it gives you a front row on history. You get to go to events and look at them, write a story, and tell the audience what happened that day. And they're coming home at 6 o'clock, and they're choosing us, and they're watching that story. You get to inform them of what happened in Toronto, your city, that day. And that's been great. That's just been amazing. I love that part of the job, and I'm really going to miss that. It's time to go. I'd say young enough at heart, in good health, and I'm looking forward to it. I feel good about it. I'm at peace.
And we know what you've been up to the last 34 years, of course. We've seen it unfold on television. But what are you going to do now with your time off?
Well, it depends on the weather, Lindsay.
Oh, okay.
Depends on the weather. I'm just going to chill a little bit for the first little while. I'm going to treat it like it's a vacation and, you know, get used to retirement. It's going to be, you know, you're doing it for 40 years, radio as well. So I've been getting up doing news for 40 years. It's time to take a break and do some other stuff, do some traveling. I need to paint the deck. I need to clean the windows. All kinds of jobs at home.
All right, I'll work on that forecast for you.
Thank you.
And we should definitely say this is not your last day. Right. So we will be celebrating you, whether you like it or not, this week. You saw a little bit of some of the stuff we've dug up from the vault, but there's even more. There's 34 years of it. So throughout the week, you'll want to join us because we will be showing you all those little nuggets, all the incredible stories you've worked on.
Yeah, and there's so many good stories. You know, there's really hard stories. There were court stories, but there were great stories where, you know, you get to see somebody come out of a courthouse who's been in jail for more than 30 years on a crime, a murder he didn't commit. Mm-hmm. What a gift that is to be able to see that man and talk to that man as he comes out.
Well, it's bittersweet for us, but we're really excited for you and
Thank you. Your next chapter.
And it's going to be a great week. And the final day, your last day is Friday.
So Friday.
Definitely want to join us then as well. So that does it for us tonight. But be sure to join Omar Sachedina at 11 for CTV National News, followed by Zoraida Allman with our next local newscast at 11:30.
And our coverage continues anytime on CP24 and online at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
For Lindsay Morrison, Austin Delaney, and all of us here at CTV News, thank you for watching and have a great night.
Love these pictures.